Hello.
I'm Chief Jennifer Pinard. I work with the band's outreach office, and I've got the man of the hour here, Master Sergeant Andy Axelrad.
Excellent. Andy, how are you?
Very good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I have you on speakerphone because I'm away from my office. I've just got my laptop in front of me here. But
we've got you on speakerphone too, Ronnie. So.
Well, as long as we can hear each other, it's all good.
Yeah.
So, you marched in the inaugural parade.
I did.
Did you march the entire length or just one section?
Oh, no, the entire length and then some.
Oh, okay. All right, so you went the entire length. Do you know where you started and where you finished?
I believe the official starting point was 4th Street at the intersection of Pennsylvania and Constitution.
Okay.
And it ends after the reviewing off of Pennsylvania by the White House, I think, on 17th Street.
Okay, so like 17th in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And it's about a mile and a half total.
Okay. All right. How many songs did you play?
Primarily throughout the parade, we alternated between two tunes, Washington Postmarch and Trombones Triumphant. But in the reviewing area by the White House, we played the Air Force song, of course.
Okay. Is it just called the Air Force song?
Currently, yes.
Okay. Has it had previous titles?
Well, it was originally the Army Air Corps. When the Air Force Army.
Oh, okay. That's kind of funny, because you guys would have had to change the title when you became your own department. I went to the University of Kansas.
Okay.
And our fight song included mentioning us beating up the University of Missouri and the University of Nebraska. But unfortunately, both of those schools have jumped ship to other conferences, and we don't play them anymore. So we had to change the words of the fight song.
That was essay then to say that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of interesting that the Army Air Corps song became the Air Force song. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
So,
well.
What were we going to say?
I said it worked out pretty well.
So, what we're doing, this is a section we do once a week. We just call it Q&A,
mm-hmm.
where I just throw a bunch of questions at you, and then we just reprint your answers. And it's pretty short. It's pretty simple. But so first, what was it like to perform for the Commander-in-Chief?
Oh, it's always an honor to perform for the Commander-in-Chief. This is the fifth inaugural parade I've done, so... the third president that I performed for in this aspect. But
okay.
It's great, you know. You know, we're in formation, so I'm not supposed to be looking around, but I was able to get a little glimpse of what was going on in the warm and comfy box as we went by. Well, it was dusk.
Yeah.
And they're clearly appreciative and, you know, showing the honor back.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. What brought you into the Air Force?
Well, I'm a member of a group, a subset group of the United States Air Force band called the Airmen of Note, which is the premier jazz ensemble.
Uh-huh.
And I auditioned for that group about a little over 20 years ago. And that's my primary duty. And, of course, they draw people from all the different groups to fill out the 99-piece band that marches the inaugural.
Okay. So what made you want to join the Air Force, like in the first place when you were presumably probably right out of high school or college?
Well, I definitely went to – I was in college, and I had professional work experience, and I had some friends that were in the band, and – so I became familiar with the particular group I mentioned, the Airmen of Note. But primarily, when I think about being in the Air Force band, I think about serving my country and playing music.
Okay. So you joined the Air Force primarily because you wanted to be in the Airman of Note.
To serve my country in the Air Force by being in the Airman of Note, representing.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of the unique things about our job is the recruitment process is a little backwards from what a regular Air Force member might experience. They go through a pretty rigorous audition process, the members do, before they get offered the job. And then they go visit their local recruiter, go to basic training, and then we report directly to the band here in Washington, D.C. And we can spend 20 to 30 years doing that same job. We don't travel around the world, transfer around the world, I should say. We tour around the world, but our duty station remains the same here in Washington, D.C.
Okay. So what do you play?
I play saxophone and flute and clarinet.
So what was the appeal of music for you? When you were young, what drew you to music?
I would imagine my first experiences, I thought everyone had the same record collection, everyone else's parents, but my dad and mom had a lot of jazz records. So when I was a little kid, I was listening to all that jazz. And I went to grammar school, and I was talking about the jazz artists I heard, and no one knew what I was talking about. But so I had a very big in right then, and it took hold inside my heart at an early age, and I knew I wanted to play.
Okay. That's kind of funny. Again, being from Kansas, there was a kid who moved to the city I lived from New York, and he would ask us, like, you know, like, hey, do you guys like Run DMC? And I'm like, oh, yeah, he's awesome. And having no idea what a Run DMC was, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see. Just a sec. Okay. So what is it like being in the Airman of Note, as opposed to being, I suppose, in the more well-known parts of the Air Force, you know, working with, being in a more combat-oriented position?
Well, everybody is very specialized. You know, you said a combat-oriented position. Most of the people in the Air Force do not fight. They support. And they're all specialized, and they receive training. And as Chief Bernard said, the people that auditioned for the Air Force, the premier band in D.C., have already received their training outside, so there isn't really a training school. So we're very specialized here as well. So I've been doing what I was trained to do in college. And what I was going to tell you, one of the things about the Airman of Note is we are the direct descendant to Glenn Miller's Army Air Corps dance band.
Oh, yeah.
And the Airman of Note has that namesake. So, ironically, before I was in the Airman of Note, before I had joined up with the Air Force, I played with the Glenn Miller Ghost Band. I played that with them for about 2.5 years, traveling all over the country and the world. And then, you know, it's kind of like both sides of the coin. Of course, so we still hang on to that tradition. We hold that very close to our hearts. And also, we're a modern jazz band. And we do a lot of backing up guest artists and play with cutting-edge modern jazz artists and also people of yore. And it's been a fantastic career so far.
Yeah. I remember I was reading skimming through his biography once, and he's still listed as missing in action.
Yes.
Because that's what happened. His plane went down. He's missing in action.
Yep.
Has your band gotten to play in the northwest suburbs ever? Have you ever been able to come back to Buffalo Grove and perform around here?
We have. It's been quite a while, but one of the things we do, there's a Midwest Band Convention, which is in Chicago, and periodically we'll play, and I was able to do that maybe three or four times over the last 20 years, and we've played in Waukegan. Trying to think of the closest venue we've performed in. I still have a lot of family in the area, Buffalo Grove and Rolling Meadows and Arlington Heights and Wheeling.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to remember.
You haven't been able to come back to. Say, you went to. Did you go to Buffalo Grove or Stevens?
My family moved at the time when I enlisted. They lived in Buffalo Grove. They had moved prior to that. I grew up in Mount Prospect, so I went to Hersey High School.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. The press release said that you guys. Wait, so your family's in Buffalo Grove now?
Well, actually, my family, my parents had subsequently divorced, and my father has passed away. But well, there's a little bit of a fragmentation there. But I still have, I believe my mom just moved, and she's living in, I think she's living in Buffalo Grove or Mundelein. And I have two brothers that live there, and I have another brother who lives in Rolling Meadows with his kid's wife.
But
we allow
so you didn't
to claim whatever hometown they, you know, would like to claim as far as, you know, where their ties are and that kind of thing. So sometimes the ties are different than others.
Yeah. So did you ever live in Buffalo Grove?
I did.
Oh, okay. Okay.
My brother went to Stevenson. I'm a young.
All right, then. So then I can accurately say you're a former Buffalo Grove resident.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. So, you were. Oh, what were we talking about a second ago? I lost my train of thought on something.
Well, we were talking. We were asking if I had performed nearby where I had performed.
Yeah. It was before that. I got sidetracked.
We were talking about Miller.
Huh?
Glenn Miller?
That may have been it. You brought something to mind that I didn't have in my planned questions, and drat, now I can't remember what it was. Because I didn't write it down fast enough.
Hmm.
Oh, well. Well, let's see. So, where all have you performed around the world?
Oh, my goodness. I wish I had a sheet label for that. It's probably easier to say where I haven't performed. We've, in the Airmen of Note, I performed in Europe, in Japan. The band, prior to my tenure, has been to South America and, of course, all over the United States. we've been to Central and Southern Asia. We've been to Turkey and Central Command just prior to the Iraq War. We were in Qatar and United Arab Emirates and Bahrain and Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. And we went to Italy. Did I mention Turkey?
Yes.
Belgium.
And you've probably been to all 48 continental United States, right?
Oh, yeah, the contiguous.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's cool stuff. So it was cold on Monday. Was that the coldest one you'd ever marched in?
You know, it was supposed to be colder than they said it was going to be colder than it was. That was definitely not the coldest one, but I was mentally prepared for it to be cold.
What was the coldest?
Probably Bush's second inaugural.
Okay. Do these things ever change regarding who's in office? Like, you know, did Bush want something different than Clinton or Obama or those types of things?
From my perspective, my role and how where the band was situated, we lead off the 4th Division, and we've always led off the 4th Division. There's 5 divisions. I think right in the epicenter of the taking the oath, the Marine Band has the primary role. They're sitting down and they perform and back up guest artists and things like that, and then they actually start the inaugural parade off, I think, and then followed the 2nd Division is the Army. 3rd Division is the Navy, then the Air Force is the 4th Division, and the 5th Division is the Coast Guard.
Okay.
Pretty consistent every year. You know, the civilian groups alternate, but the military participants are pretty much consistent, and, you know, the music they play, there might be some alterations to the pre-ceremony swearing in and that kind of thing, but the Air Force stuff is pretty much the same every year.
Okay. Well, this is go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, just the how the parade is formatted runs pretty smoothly from once we step off. Of course, there's been some snags here and there. When Obama's first inaugural, I think Senator Kennedy had collapsed, and that kind of threw a little curveball in the process.
Yeah.
You know. And it's still, I think maybe we made up some of the time, but there was a delay of maybe 2 hours. And you asked about the cold. We were out there. That was cold. That was cold.
Yeah. Wow. I never heard about that. But then I don't pay much attention to national politics. I'm pretty much stuck on Buffalo Grove politics.
Sure.
When did you join the Air Force?
I joined in 1993 in January. That's when I became active.
Okay.
I auditioned in the summer prior to that. And that's a long, extensive process. So after I was selected, then I went to my recruiter, as we mentioned. And then I went through basic training. And that's why I didn't... Otherwise, I would have done 6 inaugurals.
Wow. Huh. Okay. I suppose so, because that would have been Clinton's first.
Yep.
Oh, so you just missed it.
I arrived on in D.C. in February of
93. Okay. Okay. You know, I think that's probably all that I need.
Okay.
Okay, well,
next... Okay. Well, that's... I think that's everything that I need. If I have any other questions, I'll track you down again, but I think that's going to be everything.
Yeah, and then you'll have my email address, so if you have any further questions, you can just contact me. And then if you wouldn't mind sending me a link once it's posted, that would be helpful for my reporting.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. Well, thanks, Ronnie.
No problem.
It's good talking to you.
Andy, it was nice to meet both of you guys over the phone. And hey, one other question. So how long do you think you'll stay in the Air Force with the band?
I'm planning on staying 4 more years.
All right.
Which is what is all that is allowed at my current rank. I'm a master sergeant. I'm an E7. So the way it's written now, I can stay 24. And that's what I'm planning.
Okay. Just a sec. So, there's a term limit. You can only be in the band 24 years.
At my current rank, if you can attain a rank of E9, I'm currently E7. So obviously there's E8 as well. So if you're an E8, you can stay, I believe, 26. If you're an E9, I think you can stay 30.
Uh-huh.
That's an Air Force restriction, not a band specific restriction.
And it changes
okay.
time to time.
Okay. So to get it straight, that is a capital E and then a hyphen and then a numeral 7 or 9?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
The
all right.
The corresponding rank with an E7 is Master Sergeant.
Okay. So if you attain a rank of E9, then what happens?
E for E8 first.
But if you can move up there.
Yes.
So if you make it up to E9, then what happens?
Well, you could. There are people that are in 20 years and are E9s right now, and they can. Once you get to 20 years, you've completed a career, and everything after that is what you desire for your career.
So, in other words,
okay.
you're retirement eligible at 20 years, regardless of your rank, and,
uh-huh.
and there's a maximum limit assigned to each rank. So an E7 can stay a maximum of 24 years, an E8 can stay a maximum of 26 years, and an E9 can stay a maximum of 30 years, but it's all your choice at that point.
Okay.
Yeah, the discretion of the individual member.
Okay. But if you make it to E9, you still have to leave at the end of 30 years.
You can retire any time in that 20 to 30 year period.
Yeah, but after 30 years, you either got to move up in rank again or you're retired.
Actually, E9's the highest enlisted rank there is. So.
Oh.
30.
Oh, that's what the E stands for, enlisted.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So the highest, the longest amount of time you can stay in is 30 years as an enlisted member, and if you've achieved the rank of E9.
Okay. So if you're an E9 and you're at 30 years, you either have to become an officer or you have to retire.
I suppose so.
You can't become an officer at that time because
Bold.
Because there's age. So you have to become an officer, I think, by age 34, and you have to be 18 to enter the Air Force. So if you do the math, you couldn't be in 30.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot for your time, and hopefully I'll be seeing you marching again soon.
Okay.
And I'll send you those photos hopefully by the end of the day.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks, Ronnie.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.